Just to remind everybody that language usage and content that we provide here may be disturbing, disgusting, probably will be and should be. Words like bloody custard and words that rhyme with that may be featured. Actually, will be featured. In fact, perhaps will only be featured. Just warning you.
You're listening to Cyrus Says.
And on Cyrus Says, we meet Lightbox, which is Sandeep Murthy, Sid Talwar, Jeremy Wenokar, Prashant Mehta, and I'm told a guy called Sunny in Philadelphia as well. They're going to talk about all kinds of things, what to do with money when you have too much, how to invest in the internet opportunity that awakes in India as we speak. Also, what they've already done and how they'll help us on the podcast.
You're listening to Cyrus Says.
Here, Cyrus says, just a very important point on Watchmen in Mumbai, and it's about time we understand that they need to open the door when you're right in front of the parking gate, you know, when you need the door to open so the car can come in, and not when you're 15 minutes waiting there and blowing the horn. So all the Watchmen listening to the show, please understand that time is essential in the city of Mumbai. We need to get to places. So don't come out slowly after 5 minutes and one syllable go, doesn't help anybody. It's called Cyrus Says, open the gate.
Cyrus says, ad breaks are beneficial to your mental health. And that's what Cyrus says.
Yes, I have stunned people in our studio today. Three young men who are not a pop group or a rock group. Could have been Boyz II Men, and could have been Simon Garfunkel and the guy who followed them. I don't know. But instead, they're three entrepreneurs, three VCs. It's difficult to understand. They're rich men. They're rich boys. Doing really well in life. We'll find out in a second. Let's meet them. Sandeep Murthy is right here, and I've done my research, so I know that Sandeep is right there. He's put his hand up.
He looks very confused.
Which point is he around?
Which one's which?
Sandeep, may I just tell you that it's not a visual medium, but thank you for that hand up. And those listening will now wonder just how many years behind the situation we are.
I'll let you guess which one I am.
Come on, Jeremy. Every Maharashtrian with a Sandeep like Wenokar looks exactly like you.
All right, at least in India we do.
So Jeremy, you stand out. There you go. You do stand out. But your name, I don't. Have you ever heard this Maharashtrian surname ending, which is KAR as well, in our part of the world?
No,
so it's exactly the same as yours.
Really?
So you could be Marathi speaking.
Wow,
Marathi
speak
Bolo?
Marathi?
Unfortunately, no. I'm going to have to learn.
I think you.
Which is typical of the breed who goes abroad and forgets their mother tongue. Fair enough. We also have, and this is going to be a stretch, Sid Talwar or Prashant Mehta with us, and my money is on.
Prashant Mehta!
Oh,
goddamn, no, sorry.
It's Sid Talwar. What happened to Prashant Mehta?
He got stuck in traffic.
So
watchman. The security guard
didn't open the gate.
He's stuck at his own house.
Yeah, it's his own watchman who doesn't let him in. Again, only in India.
Won't let him out.
All right, now they've been, let me just quickly give a background, which I have here so I can read it out so it sounds correct. You guys have been, by the way, Prashant, if you ever hear this show, we love you and we miss you.
Yes.
You're part of everything. You've been involved with In Mumbai, is it? And In for Edge.
Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
Not at all.
No, okay. Good enough for you, though?
Yeah.
Can we move on or should we try it again?
No.
Okay. In Mumbai and In for Edge, $2 billion, and this is the more important part, doesn't matter what it's called, $2 billion plus companies to come out of India, and also was chairman at cleartrip.com. That is only Sandeep Murthy, by the way. I've just come down to that. And Sandeep is a very laid back guy. He's not even blinking when I mentioned the $2 billion. Is that a wrong figure? Is it three?
It'll keep going up.
It'll keep going up. Damn you, arrogance. Indian youth with all the money. Sid Talwar founded a Evolve, is it? E-V-O-L-V, am I correct?
Yeah, spelled wrong, but yeah.
That's fine. A vocational training company, which spelled itself wrong, to NIT and... real paradox. Sid is a master of educational technology, was involved with numerous startups and angel funds once he exited NIT and brought them down to earth. Also founded Magic Bus, which I do know about because they teach them rugby.
You founded and you're a master. Wow.
Did you find Magic Bus or no?
I found it there, but I didn't start it.
You're involved with Magic Bus, the helping...
We're all involved with Magic Bus. But I did not.
Okay, but you're ashamed of the association. You clearly want me to.
I would never
that.
Found an NGO.
I know who does that anymore. Stop it. Okay, Magic Bus, an NGO that works with helping underprivileged kids, and that's where they met me through sports. And they play rugby, by the way, right next to where I live at the Bombay Gym. Also started a restaurant in Delhi called the Hungry Monkey.
Interesting. Is that really you?
Yeah, that's me.
But you guys don't react to anything, so obviously you're not impressed by yourselves.
No, it's just you're not saying it with enough enthusiasm.
Okay, I'll do it again. Here we go. Also started a restaurant in Delhi called The Hungry Monkey.
Oh, my God.
And now we're going to put applause in all. People screaming, food in the background.
They do?
Now, here's the bad news, guys. Jeremy's got just 3-word lines. I mean, you guys are doing...
I've done absolutely nothing in my life.
Amit Doshi, the producer's involved in. Jeremy only gets early stage involvement in Netscape, AOL, and Google. Ooh, wow. So apparently you're one of the founding fathers of Google.
I created Google right after he did Magic Bus.
There you go. All right.
The internet.
I give Al Gore credit for that. But after Al started the internet, then.
So what
I
did Donald Trump do? Did Donald Trump do anything? No.
No, Donald wasn't online. He has buildings.
He was doing his own thing. He's doing his hair at the point. So Google, you want to tell us? Okay, let's just look into your backgrounds for a second and understand everybody. So we'll start with you again, Jeremy. Not tell the truth.
Google,
you're a founding father? You want to be
was not. I was a very early employee at Google. So I was Google's first corporate development person. So I ran the M&A department at Google from...
What was that like? A little garage? What was it like right in the beginning?
Well, so... At the beginning, they did actually start in a garage. They started in Susan Wojcicki's garage.
So I do know something.
You do know something. So
guys.
They followed. The original office was in a garage, and then they moved to University Avenue in Palo Alto above the bike shop, which became a famous place. Startups all wanted to go there because Google started in
that space. Had a karmic attraction. Go there and you'll be big.
I started, and it was... You know, it was a neat little place. I mean, I don't think you would have realized it was the explosion of the first internet bubble had happened. People were like another search engine, and it became the thing that it is today. Is pretty amazing.
So, do you own equity? And be honest, you
do. I currently own. Actually, I do. I'm still a shareholder.
Dare you in this poor country come here and tell us you're a Google equity owner? Sure, man. You have more money than Bangladesh, and you're sitting there in a laid back fashion.
So I will give
sarcastic.
For the record, I'll give you the interesting story about Google is that it almost didn't happen because they started the company. I found Google because I worked at Netscape and we needed a search engine, and someone said you should go talk to these guys at Stanford, which were Larry and Sergey. So we actually looked at buying Google, and if Netscape bought Google, that would have been the end of it.
Yeah.
And so fortunately, they asked for too much money back in 1998. They asked for $20 million $200 million.
Who's doing better now, Netscape or...
Netscape is gone.
Don't even answer that question. All right. Jeremy, we'll talk more about your life in a second, but the three people here take so long to get to everyone. Let's go back to Sandeep Murthy, the man who has billions coming out of his pocket. Sandeep, a little bit about you. Where did it all
start?
Can
I have some? Wait.
Yeah. There's
all right. My guests are playing with each other now. Billionaires often do in crowded rooms. Sandeep, what's your story? Are you born here? Are you an Indian?
No, I was born in the US. I lived there till I was 12. Moved to India when I was 12. Went to school in Delhi.
Why would that happen? That's very odd.
I lost along the way somehow. My parents decided it was good to come back.
Okay.
So I went to school in Delhi. I went to the American school there.
Not the hardest grind, yeah.
There we go.
There you go, yeah.
Lived in a nice bubble. Wait till you get to sit on this one. And then I went back to the States, worked there for a while, and came back 10 years ago.
Okay, and it all started with InMobi, is it?
No, so actually, I came back 10 years ago. Jeremy and I had actually started talking.
Is it right?
No.
We'll get to it. Yeah. It's a long program.
It's a long show, right? Yeah. So, Jeremy and I had known each other since 98, and I used to do investment banking, and he used to do Netscape and his startup. They sold to Netscape, after which...
Let's look at the two things. Netscape disappeared. Investment banking almost disappeared also as a concept.
We're all about the dying things.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then the Phoenix arose and you had...
Back to the billions. Yeah.
So you want to give us a quick... Sorry, I'm interrupting you. A quick background to how you got involved with InMobi.
InMobi.
So we're just testing you, Jeremy. You're right. Go on. Yeah.
No, so actually what happened was back then we started talking about India in 2005. We nearly put a fund together to come and invest together. Instead, I moved to India in 2005, worked with a guy by the name of Ram Shriram, who was one of the early investors in Google, and Kleiner Perkins, which was also an early fund investor in Google. And that's when one of our investments was InMobi. And
Okay, I'm falling asleep, but Sid, Sandeep, don't stop. When you come to the $2 billion, everybody listening to the podcast will wake up again.
Billion.
Due respect, no. Wonderful. So your story is vaguely about coming to India with lots of money and you're clear.
Came here, hung out, gave people some money.
There are people who are writing
this. Then he bored him to death. Yeah. That's what he does.
Does he do lectures? Does he do the circuit? Okay, Sid is getting left out and he's apparently the funniest of the three. So from the point of view of just
your current interaction with us right now?
Yeah. Sid, because I just like evolve without them. You're so lazy to think about it.
No, it's because you were too good for it.
Couldn't spell. What happened to Google? There was no Google?
There was nothing at that time.
Damn.
How old are you?
So, actually, I moved to India around the same time that Sandeep moved to India.
Really?
I was in elementary school when Sandeep had come
Where?
To high school. Uh-oh. In Delhi.
Okay, you made your point. School. Uncle Sandeep and you were not known to each other.
No, he's like Elder Bhaiya.
Elder Bhaiya. Bhaijaan.
Bhaijaan.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your thing? You were again born in America, came to Delhi.
No. I was actually born in India. I was my father was a banker, so he moved every 2 years to different places, and he was transferred to Calcutta at the time. So I was born over there. And when I was about 4 or 5, we left.
So you're the richest Bengali we've ever met in this regular.
Have you met lots of Bengalis?
Not even one.
But I'm not Bengali. I'm Punjabi.
No, but by descent now.
Oh, like that. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Okay. Just claim it, man. Claim it. Own it.
It's just so simple. Is that gonna make the show go faster?
I don't know. Regionalism.
Because I don't want to make a big deal about Punjabi, Bengali, like that kind of thing. I love all people.
Really?
Yeah.
Who does that anymore?
I know. And the funny thing is that I'm from Delhi, and so it's even more unusual. Quite honestly.
Really? Yeah.
He's skipping over.
No, I'm sure the thing is you're a Delhi boy, born in Cal.
And lived most of my life
in Stanford.
In where?
Well, I'm just testing
sure.
you.
No, yeah.
You're testing me. Go with that.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
No, we moved around quite a bit, and we moved back to India when I was in high school.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about this whole Evolve. Where did that come from, the idea and the start of Sid?
I was transferred to India from a job when I was working in the U.S. I was about 22 or so, and I saw that there was this need for language training and vocational training, especially with the IT services, and God, I'm putting myself to sleep now.
No, because
I'm looking at you, and you're like,
I'm riveted. I'm just.
You are? Are you really?
I really am. Because
let me start earlier.
I think there's more money in education.
My mother always told me.
Go ahead.
So I saw this kind of boom taking off, BPOs, IT services, and I felt that they need a lot of people, and those people would need training.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it kind of started. And so at that time, I kind of traveled around, tried to raise money. There was no money available. Like, we give money out. That's what we do
for
everything.
We give money.
From his pocket.
From his one pocket.
Yeah. That's Sandeep we're talking about.
There you go.
We just realized again.
Okay, so the vocational training company took off at right place, right
we
time.
We sold it to NIIT about 7 years later.
When you say we, so this is you separately, all three of you are separate at this point.
Yeah. We is me and my team.
Right.
He thinks of himself in the third person.
My God, the guy is... We have a politician like that. I can't name him. It's amazing.
My people and I.
Oh God, you're a prophet. Yes. Will you stop? Control.
So, is it too late now?
No, it's too late. We'll come into Magic Bus a little later in the program. Let's now, which is very important. I want to talk with the Hungry Monkey because yours is an interesting biodata, and not that yours isn't or yours isn't.
But apparently he likes to eat.
Yeah, I love to eat. So let's talk about the three of you together. So what's the story? How do you guys meet? What's this whole thing about?
I thought we were going to talk
spending
about restaurants.
Money? We'll come. If that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do. It's a very easygoing show. We don't even have
anything.
Yeah. I've already started drawing things.
So go. He's given up.
Let's take the association a little further and tell us. So who met who and how did you get together? And
so Sid and I know each other from high school. So we used to hang out.
This is in Calcutta, Delhi, Los Angeles?
Yes.
Delhi,
okay. Oh, God. So
we went to the American school together.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jeremy was a teacher there.
Yeah, exactly. He,
no.
He was educating us.
See, I already forgot. He started to tell you how we met, but it was so boring that you said.
Sid's got a chip on his shoulder for the age thing. He's supposed to mention he's the youngest. I think that was important.
And you're lucky Prashant isn't here because he's like a grandfather compared to us.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you can make it.
We can't insult someone who's not here.
That's true. Of course you can.
Can we not insult people that aren't here?
We do it with Pakistan all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Prashant, we'll say sorry. We'll say sorry to Prashant. He's a nice guy.
On behalf of myself and my people, Prashant, I'm very sorry.
And may I say, Sid, Prashant has got a great body of work, formerly at Yahoo and Komali.
He's a great body?
Yes. Prashant does have a great body.
Yeah. Which he's left at work, thank God. Which, so we don't have him here today.
He's got a great body at work.
Yeah. All right. So there's no point telling you about his left Komali as CEO because you know and aren't interested. Again. So, how did you three meet, gentlemen?
He's got a great body at work.
All right.
Sorry.
I wish we had a visual to show. Is Prashant not Brad Pitt? I
mean, no, no, he is.
No, he is.
From certain angles with the right lighting, Prashant is a beautiful
man. With no lighting, he's definitely Brad Pitt.
All right, okay.
And
this is facing the camera. All right. Just right there. So, how did you meet John and Paul? What's the story here? How did you become the three wise men with lots of money to throw our way?
So, Sid and I met in high school. We talked a lot about things in life since then, doing stuff over time. Went our separate ways, did lots of other things, met Jeremy in California. I had lots of thoughts on different ideas, always run it by him. He told me I was stupid with all of them. Eventually, found one that sounded interesting. India seemed like the right place to go. He had come here in 2000 for my wedding then and liked the place and decided, you know, by 2005 when I called him again and said, I want to go back, I want to do something. He said, all right, I think it makes sense. You know, he'd been all around the world investing, buying stuff. And he said, yeah, I haven't seen anything in India yet. So I think let's go build a set of internet companies in India. And started to go about that plan. We came and made our first investment in ClearTrip together. And built that. It's an online travel company.
Yeah, I don't. Is it the Back to Spaces thing? No.
Yeah.
Same thing?
And Matthew
and
does
Magic Bus as well.
Yeah,
Matthew
I don't
does
want
Magic
that,
Bus.
Yeah,
also.
He plays rugby at the gym. That's yeah. Why. Yeah, okay.
So exactly.
Excellent. So nobody else is interested in this again, but this is a personal conversation between me and young Mr. Murthy. I just want to find out. So the two of you started it, and then he comes in later.
So we started talking about it, and then what ended up happening was I moved here in 2005 to work. Well,
why did Jeremy want to move from America to India?
He wasn't going to move.
Right? I was going to move here.
You like the wedding? You saw some Indian girls. You like? Be honest.
The food's really good.
Are you crazy? No, it is. It is. It's lovely.
I like Indian food.
So do I. So, we don't have a choice, but go on.
So, no, the original plan was I was going to move here for 2 to 3 months and then come back every 8 weeks.
And look at the lay of the land.
Exactly. Which, back then, the original thought was that most of the deals and acquisitions and things, we thought we might be copying things that were working in other parts of the world and bring them here. We were just way too early.
Way too early.
So we started.
This is part one.
This is part one. So right. This was 2005. So I'll let him then continue.
And Sid is not in the picture yet.
No. Sid wasn't born yet.
Sid, wake up. Sid, be with us. Sid, we want you.
I'm engrossed in the story.
Yeah, because it's all lies.
I haven't heard this one yet.
Jeremy had this really bad travel agent. Next thing he knows, he's in a wedding in Delhi. Just trying to get back home. Yeah. That was part one.
I ran out of money and there was a lot of food and a lot of people, so we showed up. It looked like a good time.
You know,
there were elephants and racetrack.
Without being racist, I love seeing foreigners at a Punjabi wedding. They're just hilarious when they try to fit in and do the bhangra and everything else. You can. Again, it's not a visual medium, but thanks for trying. Apparently, we're the only four laughing now. All right. So
that was for our benefit, not them. So
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They'll catch up. Technology will catch up. So Sid walks into this whole scenario.
Not yet. No. So this is
Jeremy goes back home.
Jeremy left. He went away. He's like, no, I don't think so.
So we kept here. We stayed on. We kept investing. I moved here, invested in a bunch of companies. Then in 2010, the three of us, and we have five partners in our fund. One guy that is not on your list, Sunny.
Right.
So Sunny lives in Philadelphia. So four of us originally got
together. There's a TV serial. Yeah. Sounds exactly like that.
Exactly. It's always Sunny.
Why would you do that? Really? Yeah.
So the
four
of us.
Where do you think they got the show from?
I'm thinking. He's invested in the show, isn't he? Sunny in Philadelphia.
Jeremy hasn't seen the show.
It's a TV show. He's not American. He's from Philly.
He even knows it's Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
No, it's fairly new.
It's running. Don't you watch TV?
No.
Yeah.
Too much porn can kill everything.
He works. He really works a lot.
Spoiling our name. Danny DeVito.
I know Danny.
He's our height.
He's
our kind of
evil. He's Indian.
He's like an Indian, really.
He's one of our people. Got it.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So let's get back. And so you're still here and you're trying different things. And
yeah, so then the four of us get together and we decide, I think we should do something together. Let's kind of build a investing business. Mm-hmm. So we invested in a company called Shop Clues and said, let's see if this works out for us. And that company's gone on to billions.
Say slowly.
Billions. Say billions.
I'll put reverbs. Billions. We'll make it sexual. Billions. All right. Fantastic.
And then we decided to set up Lightbox.
There you go. Now, what is this tagline, building not betting? What is that all about? Because my research is all over the place, as you can tell. I call it a masturbatory sort of research.
So we're all entrepreneurs. So
thank you, Sid.
No, but before we started this fund, we were all started companies. And we'd all run companies. Prashant had run a company, all three of us. Sunny is running a company right now. And so what we decided was we want to invest in companies where we can support them as well. And support them and mentor them as well as help them kind of grow their company better, faster, whatever maybe. But you can't do that when you're investing in lots of companies. And I'm sure you've seen lots of people doing angel investing, lots of companies getting... So there are lots of people like us who invest in 20, 30, 40 companies at a time. We're investing in a very small number of companies, and we're doing that because we want to be able to help them. And if you invest in lots of companies, you're kind of betting. So you're kind of hoping that one of them does well. Here, we're helping these companies from the inside, and we're helping them grow.
So there's a social structure involved in your thought process.
Why not?
Where you're sort of helping them all along, and not just starting and running away. For the layman, Jeremy.
We get very involved operationally. So there's one method of investing people call spray and pray, which is you make 30 to 50 bets all over the place and hope one of them turns out. But you can't be involved with those because there's too many, and so you just put the money in and walk away and hope. We put the money in. We're there every day. We help build the companies. We'll help you run them.
But then you interfere. Does it upset the entrepreneur?
I'll tell you this. I think that when you're an entrepreneur of a company, it's a very lonely existence, right? So you're suddenly starting something. You have a vision. You're out there trying to solve problems. You get money from someone who looks at you as one of 30 businesses. It's hard to believe you've got a partner now. And actually, we talk to entrepreneurs about this. They welcome, it's not interference, they welcome the idea of having somebody who shares their pain. Misery loves company, right?
So, yeah, but who makes the hard decisions? At the end of the day, it's like...
Jeremy.
So the entrepreneurs...
makes the decision. We're just there to help them.
But will you negate what he wants to do sometimes?
You know what's interesting? Normally, venture capitalists will negate no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Over here,
over
here, when you're having a conversation, they actually respect it because you have a much better understanding of what they're doing because you're as involved as you are. And I think we spend a lot of time with entrepreneurs even before we invest in them so that we know that we can work with them and they want to work with us. And so it kind of works.
So they come to you knowing that this is your philosophy and that they're going to have to hold hands.
Yeah. And if they don't, then they'll know it in the first meeting.
Okay. Has anything ever gone sour?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. I mean, I mean, that's actually... So if you go back through all these companies, if you'd agreed at the beginning on everything, even with co-founders, forget investors, I don't think you'd ever find the opportunities.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's lots of fights, lots of nights drinking, lots of battles, you know, and you wake up... The big test is, can you come back to the table together and work together on it? And we try to figure that out actually before we give money and try to make sure that, hey, look, we have all argued and fought with each other so much, but we're able to come... And I think that's what... creates an alignment of a vision.
The main question is, so are you like a big brother or are you like, is it really democratic and an egalitarian setup where everybody's voice is heard and, you know, sort of democracy wins? And I'm against three big guys who want to prove themselves, made money, putting money in the company, and definitely should be allowed to, you know, say what they want.
No, it's not say what you want. So look, at the end of the day, you own the company. It's your decision. If we sit there and we tell you, do this, at some point, you'll come back to us and say, dude, it didn't work. Because it's not like everything we say is going to work. You'll come back and say, it didn't work, it's your fault. So it's a lot like Inception. We hope to get you to see a perspective. Then it's your decision. We may lose our money. Okay. We may make money, hopefully.
Let's do it as a social experiment. Let's try it as we go into break. Why do you tell me what to do?
Go to break.
I'll go to break, and I'll go to break happily. You're three wise men. We'll take a quick break on Cyrus Says, and we'll ask some hard-hitting questions about taxation, how you're paying, where you're paying, and who's coming after you in the near future when we come back.
Cyrus Says, stop picking your nose. Listen to this ad. And that's what Cyrus says.
Yeah. All right, back on Cyrus Says. We're trying to pronounce Sunny's name again. Can we go for it, Sid? The potter number 5 is not here.
Sunny Rao Bajapali.
Bajapali.
No.
Jeremy, want to try it? Have a sip of your cold drink.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot
pole. It's okay. It's all right. Cultures are different. As long as you're not trying, there's no malice intended. It's fine. It's Sunny Rao.
Sunny Rao, that's his name.
Damn you. And something has gone further away from the mic. Right way out. But we're talking about their involvement, building, not betting, which is a slight shift from the normal VC who throws the money out there and hopes to make money. So what are the pet projects? Let's talk about them. Magic Bus being one. And Magic Bus is quite well known, I must say. I had no idea you guys were involved, to be honest. We only meet this guy called Matthew Spacey.
So actually, you know, I don't know how where the bios came from, but
they came from Google, where he used to work. Point fingers. If only Netscape survived, everything would have been fine.
It's a lie. I didn't do M&A. I actually answered all the questions. All that data was me.
Really?
So yeah. I changed the questions for you.
Well, I think that's the only way to do it.
That's
honestly
why Jeremy was so tired.
That's why hungry
all night.
Hungry Monkey was the only thing I could relate to when I read it first, which we'll come to.
Honestly, quite honest, that's the only thing you need to relate to. Everything else is secondary.
Don't say monkey to Indians. We don't like it. Going back to Magic Bus. So
actually, Sandeep is on the board of Magic Bus.
Right.
And introduced me to Magic Bus. I think as a fund, we try to see how we can work with Magic Bus from a funding standpoint and a support standpoint. But the founder is Matthew Spacey. Mm-hmm. And
actually, you know, the reason for Magic Bus and it being relevant to us here, when we sat down in 2010 and said, okay, what do we want to do? The thought of just investing for, you know, sure, let's put a little money here and there was not as exciting. And I don't think that you can get motivated to do something every day if all you're after is just trying to get a return. It's got to be about making some sort of an impact, some sort of a change. So I'm not saying that InMobi is a social impact business, but I am saying that there are opportunities to actually change the way people live. And in that same vein, some of those will require capital and some of those may just be involvement in a different way. So Magic Bus is one of those areas where if we just can think differently, take our learnings from technology in certain ways, try to apply it there, try to apply our learnings from business, maybe we can be helpful. Matthew's done an amazing job. I mean, he's built this over the last 15 years.
So what
scale the organization.
Tell the folks out there, what do you do exactly? You help them get careers? Is it
no, so
there?
What Magic Bus does is it moves, the short tagline is moving children from childhood to livelihood. Mm-hmm. And so if you can actually get people to understand what behaviors will help them be able to have a life going forward, be productive in a society, get a job, be able to live effectively, because they don't have that positive reinforcement around them regularly. So therefore, you use sport as a metaphor and games to kind of educate someone on, okay, you know, here's the soap, here's the thing, chase each other. Okay, why does the soap have to catch the dirt? And this is what happens, and you understand. And they kind of reinforce these ideas. And it's a well-researched, thought-through process. And today, I think we're programming to 300,000 kids around the country. So what's exciting about the way they're approaching is, how can you do this at scale? And what we think about with technology businesses is, how can you do stuff at scale? And so if we can share learnings, trust me, we learn a ton from them. I mean, their ability to do stuff on such a low budget and make such a big impact is just amazing.
It's the Indian touch again. Yeah. You under budget everything now, thanks to this one NGO.
Yeah, exactly.
Killing capitalism. Don't do that.
It's amazing how NGOs are able to keep
people. Yeah.
Just find people that are so motivated to work for so little.
Yeah.
And also, and then,
and not always in great conditions.
Yeah, and in horrible conditions, yeah, in
passion.
A lot of cases. And finding that passion in people constantly growing. I mean, they've grown 10, 20 times in the last 3 to 5 years. And so, you're the kind of manpower you need to generate that. That kind of growth.
See, I'm a father of 2 young kids. I wouldn't. Who would want more? Like, who would want to be surrounded by more kids? I mean, it's amazing, really, honestly.
But actually,
senility and things like that come to mind. But anyway.
But it applies to, so for entrepreneurship, so there's this statement of, you want missionaries, not mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want people who actually are out there passionate about this stuff, not in it to turn a quick buck.
Okay, slightly controversial question. Do they get jobs, the livelihood part? Do these guys from the road that you picked up and go through a system, does the bus go anywhere?
Yeah, the bus goes. The bus goes, and that's become a bigger part of now. So as the organization's developed over the years, we've started with very young kids, started to move them through the process, and now over the coming years, the focus is much more on placement. And so finding the right places, so whether that's in factory jobs, and actually, you know, the strange thing, what we're finding more and more so is, it's not so much that they want a job, they want to continue with education. They want to get smarter so that they can get a better job. Mm-hmm. And so once you've kind of planted the seed, the hope is, you know, people will want to continue to better their lives.
Well, I thought you were going to train them to be podcast hosts.
Yeah,
sorry. One of the big things that they did was they said that we're gonna start teaching them earlier. So they were actually teaching people that were very like in the 9th, 10th, 11th.
Right.
And those people didn't want, they'd been inculcated with not becoming more lazy about taking up a job. And so they actually started teaching them from the 4th, 3rd, 2nd. And since then, getting them geared up to take that job. And so the attrition rate...
But how will they know at that 10, 12 age group what they want to do?
No, they don't. They don't. It's just a conditioning of being able to graduate from school and then get employment. So they've been conditioned to either beg or not, or, you know, not to have to actually get an actual job.
Yeah.
And so the people that used to, earlier on in Magic Bus, graduate from their program, get a job and then quit very quickly afterward. And so they weren't sustaining that employment, although they were finding the employment. And one of the realizations was they need to be developed not only from an education standpoint, but a mentality standpoint. And that combination
was cultural shift.
Massive.
How do we make Indians work, if you look at the macro picture?
How do we make, well, yeah.
Like a Jeremy smile.
how do we make poverty-stricken children feel comfortable, and they could feel uncomfortable. They couldn't have
said,
just
you make everything sound so sad.
But feel, and I think I want to now say something sweet and not sad. They're so happy.
I must say, I see them playing.
So can I ask, as the outsider here, are there enough jobs for them?
Well, the Prime Minister says there are, and he says Achhe Din will be there soon, so there will be. No, sorry.
Yeah,
I think are they enough jobs?
I mean, because I think it's a real issue. Yeah? I think part of the Make in India and all that stuff. Really,
Jeremy, do you feel bad that you're helping here and not there? In America? I've seen poor people in America.
We've got poor people in America. I mean, and it's a real issue. I mean, it's an issue worldwide. And so we try to do, but you can only do so much.
Well, you could place the Magic Bus kids in America. There'll be more poor ethnic Americans there and more rich Indians there. Which isn't that half the problem now? there you go. All right, let's talk about more interesting things. Well, this is very interesting, and that was our theme.
Oh my God! Saving the country, making it a better place?
Saving two countries.
Two countries.
Not one.
Sure, right.
Two countries at a time.
Save the world.
As Adolf once told his friends. let's not get into that. Moving on to this man is sleepy all the time. What is the story behind Jeremy and the falling asleep? Is it just my conversation?
Chronic, yeah. No, it's you. Yeah, he's normally very lively.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
What the hell happened? I'm so sorry, Jeremy.
No, actually, I've never seen him lively. That's not true. I don't remember.
Me lively? Never happens.
Yeah. Apparently, he's on the worst schedule ever and hasn't slept for 4 days. What are you doing? What's up?
I flew from San Francisco to Delhi, landed in Delhi at midnight, had a day of meetings, flew from Delhi to Bangalore.
The moment you say Delhi, we feel bad for you anyway, so don't worry. You've got the sympathy of everybody.
Spent 2 hours driving from the airport to Bangalore.
You're telling Indians about drives? What are you doing, Jeremy? You're pouring it in our face.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
So the infrastructure, it's a huge risk to the country. There's no infrastructure. To get from the airport in Bangalore to...
These are the better cities.
Yeah, and Bangalore is supposedly the best city. It was just unbelievable. It was the worst
thing. They built the airport in Kerala, which is another state.
Yes.
And they said, let's have some fun with our citizens. Go and find the airport and find your way back. And because a lot of Indians aren't employed, it gives them something to do.
Exactly.
It's a bit like the Magic Bus dimension. That dynamic, rather.
If no one's employed, how are they in cars all stuck on the road?
It's called lateral thinking. We invented it. We invented everything, by the way. Huh? And that's true, guys. I don't know if you guys know your history. Indians invented everything from the zero onwards. I have the proof. It's on Google. You can check. All right.
So generally, the issue is that I've been in 4 cities in 4 days. And
you've had enough?
All I ask is not to move. I just want to sit in one place and not be moving.
Can he stay with you?
I'm sleeping, actually.
Does he bite? Has he had his shots?
Oh, he's definitely had his shots.
He's had his shots. How do you like India?
I love India.
But you come here enough now. You completely know the place.
Although I don't get to go anywhere anymore. So the first time I came to India, I was here for 3 weeks. I went to Rajasthan. I went to Kerala. Loved it. Because my taskmaster here only lets me go to either to Mumbai, where our office is, or we have companies in Delhi and Bangalore. So
he doesn't get to take time off to see the country since he's spending...
It's not a holiday.
And it's not a holiday. I'm here to work.
And Magic Bus has a much better time, I got to tell you. They're an NGO, by the way.
You can go to Magic Bus.
Magic Bus and hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Has he watched Hindi films?
Yeah.
Does he know the names of actors? Test his Indian knowledge. Jeremy, what is the Home Minister's name?
The Home Minister?
Of India. He's like the number two guy. No idea. Let's ask the Indian guy. Sid, my Danny friend. Yeah,
I
Punjabi.
I think that's a better question.
Tell me who is the Home Minister of the country? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The finance minister is what, Jaitley, and then
that's good. Yeah. So you the important one.
I know the guys who control the money.
That's Jaitley, fair enough. The IT guy, Sinha. You just took a surname and said this guy you went to school with.
That's a Thai bear.
Sinha is a person who doesn't give back to the community.
Mm. I think one of the big things though is that you get a chance to travel in general in India. It's not just sitting in Bombay and not...
No, I see. I get to live with the
and appreciate where they came from and did so well for themselves.
Yes.
In spite of the traffic and the fact that they didn't connect some roads and nobody told us the electricity isn't working. See, we have our own version of saving the world. It's called load shedding.
That's right.
We've been doing it for years. Mm. You guys have all these big COP21, let's all meet, let's save the environment. Rubbish!
Crap.
We just shut the electricity anytime we want to for a little while.
And no one complains.
No one says a word.
We never complain.
In his hometown of Calcutta, they don't even know about electricity at the moment. Occasionally on.
They don't even care about work over there. They'll take it easy when they want to take it easy.
To each his own.
I love it.
When in Rome, do as the Bengalis do. I've been saying that from the beginning.
When in Rome.
All right, now let's talk about the potential of the Indian internet opportunity. Everyone's talking about us as the big, for the last 5 years, as this big tiger, big bear, whatever word you want to use. Is the internet opportunity, is this the place to be right now? Or is that a bit of a false dawn? Mm.
So we all invest in the Indian internet market.
There you go. So you better say the right thing.
So I'm hoping it's the right place.
You're sitting right on top of the horns of the bull or whatever
we
metaphor.
We raised a bunch of money from people with the idea that this is the place to do it. So, but I think, look, in general, 10 years ago we came with the premise that now is the time. And actually everyone asked, why now? Why not 2000? We said, there's a lot of users now. 2010, again, the question came up, now is the time. It was just coming. It's just coming.
Yeah, we had a lot of these false dawns where they blip and blip out again.
So, we had a presentation with our investors recently. We put a slide up and we said, this time it's different. And under it, we said that in 2005, we said that in 2009, we said that in 2013. And we're saying it again. But actually, this time it is. And actually, we believe there's a lot of people, one of the things, and actually all this traffic conversation, all this stuff, we have figured out how to do inefficiency at scale here. And, we have really...
Within the system.
Yeah, we've got it. We've got it down. We've got a fantastic...
You're the masters of inefficiency?
Yeah, we've got a fantastic approach to this. You know, we have figured out how to make that work and work within it. And actually, the only way to really break through that is not to untangle all the wires and figure out how to backward go through all this stuff. It's actually to leverage technology. And so whether that's in education, whether that's in finance, whether that's in commerce, our largest retailer is an online guy today. Largest retailer is an online. The three online companies are probably the largest retailers
in the world.
In India.
All right.
And in the world.
And in the world soon. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say is there a climate in India with new government in the background, etc.? Is it here that you feel that everything's going to happen, or is that a misnomer? Because for the last few years, as you said, India, China, the West is saturated. We hear all these things. Is India really the future, or is that something that we should just be a little wary of?
So we had a couple of conversations over the last few days with other investors asking us about India. Why is it exciting? This mm-hmm. And someone said to us that, all the innovation really happens in Silicon Valley. And I agree, 100%. India is not the opportunity in India is we have 1 billion people who we can monetize at a very low price. And eventually that price will move up. But there's 1 billion people. So we have scale. And so with that, I think absolutely the idea is technology is the only way you're going to be able to give these 1 billion people access to lots of...
It equalizes a lot of the societal... Yeah.
But also all the technology that's coming around. So smartphones, data connectivity, Wi-Fi... Reliance Jio is coming. They're making it 4G.
Yeah.
We're getting Wi-Fi for free in different locations. Tata saying the same thing.
Right.
So for the first time, people will have access.
Yeah.
It's like saying before Star TV came, well, is television really going to be a thing? Will people, yeah, sure. Yeah. We can see that they were watching Doordarshan at one point, and it was obvious that they would want to watch more and take more in. And as that grew, more and more people started watching. So now people have this image of what is available. And now with technology, they'll have access to it no matter where they are.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Jeremy's scratching himself violently. I'm worried if there's KBs or something. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
You've been scratching your neck and back for the last 2 minutes. Back to Sid.
No, it's actually before we came on the show, people were asking, are podcasts going to be real?
What is a podcast?
And look at that.
No, like, now everyone knows about it.
Podcasts, ugly anchors, only audio. It's a huge deal.
So now how are you going to get this podcast out?
Well, this man sitting on my left.
It's all this technology. Thank God for technology, Cyrus.
Technology is my favorite
Thank
word.
God.
Thank God for technology. No doubt about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about your personal lives, folks, and also these companies. The portfolio companies which we were trying to get into. Fasos is my favorite, by the way.
Oh.
I do use that. So you guys are still involved with that?
Yes.
Fasos? May I ask you, does it give you good returns?
It will.
It will at some point.
You're convinced. I think that it...
It's so popular, I can tell you that, because I know lots of people who use Faso, so there's definitely word of mouth, which is good.
How do you... Do you use the app?
Sometimes the app, sometimes the phone, or everything. That app will overtake everything at some point, I'm sure. But there's been a few problems with food apps of late, haven't there?
Mm.
I mean, a couple of... Without taking names...
No, take the names.
What was it? Little Owl? Green Owl? What was the guy? Tiny Owl. It's always the little guy. Yeah. Yeah.
It's always the little guy.
Yeah. Laying off people, this kind of thing. So again, that sense of insecurity. Are we peaking too soon or thinking we're peaking too soon?
You know, again, the other question I got asked a while back was, is it a bubble? Is it all too early?
That's
is this
the word
stuff
they
crazy,
use, yeah.
Right? And, you know, imagine if I want to change your behavior. You go to this coffee shop every day and you get a coffee from there. And I want to say, I open a new coffee shop. The only way I'll get you to come and try it is to give you a discount. To make you a deal. Say, it costs you 10 rupees there, I'll charge you 5 rupees here. Another guy will open another coffee shop, charge you 5 rupees. Suddenly, your behavior is going to change. You're going to be open to trying new things. So a bubble is a necessary condition to change behavior and move things.
And some people will sink in that.
Some people will sink in that. Some people will not figure out how to charge you 8 rupees.
2 minutes silence for Tiny Owl, please, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, but it's so sad that I feel, you know, these entrepreneurs, for better or for worse,
mm-hmm.
they're so much in the media eye that everything that they do comes out to become this big news because the media, and especially online media, need to generate stories. These are people that are working really hard to get things done.
And failure is highlighted, at least in India.
It is.
Seriously.
We're highlighting, you know, in Silicon Valley, failure is almost looked upon as something that, oh, it's great. You fail, you come.
Try again.
People are getting laid off. We don't know anything about what's going on in that company. But we know that they laid off some people. It could have been because those people were not doing X, Y, Z. I have no idea.
Right.
But that's what's highlighted. Oh my
like
God!
The
is the end coming?
Yeah.
Is it over? This person got fired, and this company, these people got fired. Now they might be doing it wrong. They might be firing them
the
wrong.
Cold clinical way they did it becomes the big issue.
And that becomes the big issue. Are they providing today? We have access to almost everything we want because of the internet. They were giving us food for free, almost. Groceries for free, almost. I mean, it's a great time to be a consumer.
Really short pictures with naked people.
For free.
For free.
I mean, not even almost. That's for free. So I think that we judge a lot of these companies and failure very negatively in media rather than, you know, trying to understand it better. Whether they're doing well or not, a lot of these companies have gone out, raised money. It's not easy to do that. They've grown their businesses. They've made something out of what they're trying to do to make India a better place. And so I think we need to take it in context.
Premature ejaculation is how I like to call it. And I think that's part of our DNA. We just like to look at the very big success and the very big failure very quickly. Just jump to that and not look at the big picture, the long road, etc. I think that's what you're trying to say, Sid. But we have very little time and I want to get some personal questions in. It's more fun for me because I have no idea what you've been talking about the last 1 hour. To be honest, I've just been nodding my head like an Indian. We do that and almost to classical beats. One of my favorite drugs was going on. But Sid, a little bit about your personal life. What do you do? What are your hobbies? Get away from this world of money and technology that you have always at your doorstep. What else do you do?
Nothing.
You're that boring?
No, wait. No, I'm not. No,
Sid,
wait. No, you didn't give me a chance.
Yeah.
I'm a musician.
I
play instruments. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
very good.
Can you? Can they ask questions from what
well,
I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, of course they can.
No, in that case, let me take it back.
Yeah.
So you know,
what is it? You play instruments very, very good. What does that mean?
It means very well.
I told you.
Native American lingo now, are we? Well, Chief. I like Big Wom. Squaw got Big Bum.
Okay, that wasn't big though. But it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's all ethnic. It's all where you come from. But was that too? Was it pedophilic? Was it really bad?
It's like
I saw that look from you, Sid. I got really worried. Yeah.
Oops. I was almost like I got a little
nervous.
Yeah, nervous. Yeah,
fair enough.
Because I'm not a very big guy.
No, you're not. You're not. Well, whatever that means, but I'm sure technology will prove us right or wrong. Yes.
So we started a restaurant because it was something really
Who's we? This is you
my
alone.
Wife and I
again
with two partners.
It's the fourth person. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we did that, and then
we
why the hungry monkey? Where does that come from?
So one of the partners we had a restaurant called Red Monkey,
where
in Delhi.
All right,
and
this is for the leftists.
Yeah. Red Monkey was it's a Chinese it's rhymes in Chinese.
It rhymes.
Yeah.
If
is he on something? What the hell is he?
I think it's very good. If you were speaking Cantonese,
it
would rhyme. Or Mandarin. I'm not sure which
is that.
That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, Xi Jinping. I understand.
I'll translate. I'll translate from Sid for you.
You'll translate to Indians.
He's been to Chinatown once in his life, and this is what he says. Yeah. So it's called the Hungry Monkey.
So it was something that we were really keen on doing since my wife and I first met, and that was really good.
Is she the gourmet? Who's the?
No, neither one of us. So we're really good at ideas. They're idea people,
right?
And then we find people that help us implement,
take care of the actual running.
Yeah, we don't like operations.
What's the big food that we get there? What are the signature dishes?
It's Californian. It's like a Californian cuisine, and so you get a lot of California is like a mixture of Chinese people and Mexican people and white people and European people and they kind of all
come. In California?
Indian people. I'm sorry?
We have white people in California?
And you're from California.
And a few straight people.
And some straight people. And then there's Jeremy as well. And so
Jeremy, all are welcome.
And so we have a lot of tapas, we have a lot of salads, we have a lot of
does that go well in
Italy? In fact, California, you have to keep thinking of a lot of different things to do in a restaurant. But it's good. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
A slightly racist comment was made on the side by the Republican candidate from Lisa. A lot of tapas available in California. Too much for his liking.
It's a Spanish dish.
Yeah, send them back.
What's
he's trying to say send them back. I got it.
Basically, he's trying to say, you don't understand what Californian food is.
Exactly.
And so he's mocking me not being racist necessarily.
What is are you Californian born and bred?
I'm not born. No.
So what is Californian food? Is there such a thing?
No, there's no such thing. It's
all migrants with different...
But no one here knows that.
Oh, okay, so let's just pretend there is. Have you had the bayuti? It's fantastic. Two pieces of bread with a sausage in between.
I mean, they do. I mean...
Wait, I've had that.
You were forced. Damn frat parties.
No, they call things California cuisine. It's what in the United States they call farm to table, which is it's a artisan grower who grows this amazing carrot, and it's basically served on a plate unadorned, and that's what California.
They do nothing to it.
I mean, it's simply prepared is what they do it. I mean, you'd need to come and
see. They fondle the carrot and put it on the table.
Exactly. It's so much different than what
you do. An Indian can arrest you for that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You can hurt the animals. Don't touch the vegetables. I've told you that before. Yeah. So let's move from Sid. Sid, but you are a musician or that's like a joke?
No, that was a joke.
All right. Okay.
But I do have two kids.
That doesn't count.
No, it does.
That's the organ that we don't want to talk about.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were playing guitar or something. Let's talk to Mr. Murthy. What do you do? What's your life like outside this wonderful world?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very one-dimensional in that sense. This world is so much fun. We spend a lot of time in it.
And come on, you guys can't complain. You've done really well for yourselves in a short span of time. You meet so many different people. You travel the world. What are you complaining about?
It's very good.
There are millions who will exchange right
now. That's
what
I'm saying. It's an exciting life. It's an exciting life. It's very interesting. The one thing I'd say I do is basketball. Play a lot of basketball.
Really?
Yeah, and that's
we had one Indian guy in the league for a little while in the NBA.
Yeah.
Not a little while.
You did?
He's there now.
No, he's there.
But he's in the reserves. They're not playing him.
I think the Timberwolves?
Raptors, I thought.
Straight from Punjab and
That's why no one's seen.
He's he's 6'10"
or 7'1" or something.
Big boy. Yeah,
not bad. Actually, having Desi guys in NBA. I mean, in the 80s or 90s. You don't even think of it.
Come on, we got a billion people. We should be getting into these places.
Yeah, well, nobody left in the NBA. Indians.
You have a billion people. How many of them are over 5'11"?
There are
quite a few. Yeah. It's just in different places. It's like in China as well.
No, I know.
Also, we cheated height, weight, everything. Haven't you noticed? I'm 6'7". Don't worry about it. So basketball, where?
Basketball.
In Bombay, where do you play basketball?
Our building has a court.
Okay. Building as in, again, third person? No, it's just you alone?
Just fine.
Yeah, there you go. Good standard here?
Yeah, it's not bad. There's a lot of people who've moved here, play. We have a good run. So. Something to do.
And that's it. So no girlfriend on this. I'll move on. Jeremy? Jeremy, you're just tired.
I'm bringing cricket to the United States.
Are you?
That's what I
do. Have you figured that out?
Yes.
Do you like it at all?
I still don't understand.
You don't understand it. Yeah, I have a lot of American friends.
We played at Smash.
Yeah.
Oh, I like hitting the ball. Did he face like fast balls and all that?
Yeah.
Did he hit anything?
No.
That is not true at all.
He wasn't even sure what he was doing. He was holding the bat like this.
I held it from the fat end. You swing the little end like a baseball bat, right?
Yeah, well, you can. At least you could at Smash. Didn't connect even once.
I did so. What are you talking about?
Many times.
Oh. It's batting in cricket's hard. I mean, it's crazy when they turn up the speed and just because of the ricochet off the bounces.
It's third world baseball, brother.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It's really tough.
But any sport that takes 3 days to play and you're sitting drinking tea or whatever people are drinking.
The food breaks, the massage breaks, people get married, change jobs.
We don't have the attention span for that.
Fair enough. Neither do we, as we are finding out. Anything else? That's it?
I'm into sports they don't do in India.
Tell us about it. Masturbation is not a sport, so be very clear.
It's not. I thought that's how I got into the internet.
IOA has sent us
free porn. Come on.
Listen, we don't do much of that. We're a billion plus. We do the real thing. Check it out. That's more Japan. Sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy. Give me something about your life.
I ski a lot, so I'm very
in Delhi.
No, I would like to go to Kashmir and ski.
Yeah,
actually.
Gulmarg. You can. It's pretty safe there. You can go to Gulmarg even now. Yeah, so I'm sure they'll arrange that for you.
Yeah, I'm sure, but it'll take 12 hours.
Never met
to get
a guy from California who skis, but times are changing. Okay, guys, we have one thing more left, which is called the EMA, which we have to do, and if you bear with us for a minute, questions will be asked. You may answer them. These are real questions from real people, and they have no idea who you are. Which is what this show has been all about, vaguely. So
7.3 billion people in the world don't know.
There you go.
So it's perfect.
In comes Amit Doshi, our producer, to take over the EMA.
Cyrus says, ask me anything. If you want Cyrus to answer your questions on air, send an email to whatcyrussays@gmail.com. If you send us a link to a sound file on SoundCloud, we'll even play you asking the question in your own voice. And that's what Cyrus says.
All right, Sandeep, Sid and Jeremy. Jeremy's surname is just something that I need to get grips on. Winokur. Am I saying it correctly?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Much better than you pronounce
the
Sunny's
ethnicity,
last name.
Is it some...
It's Russian, actually.
Ya znayu po-ruski. Do you speak any Russian?
No.
There you go. You're in the right country. If you don't speak the right language, this is the place to be.
You told me I'm a tourist. I'm not supposed to speak any language.
You're a happy tourist who hasn't got any sleep. Mr. Amit Doshi with questions.
All right, sure. So here's the first one. This is from Haresh Punjabi via the website. Thanks for the mention last time. He was the guy who asked us about all the Indian television shows and stuff like that. But his question is, what do you think about this whole intolerance scenario going on?
Sid.
It seems to ignite a fire anytime anybody so much as opens their mouth about it.
Freedom of speech is bugbear. He's very clear about that. Sid.
I am.
Intolerance in India? You've seen both sides.
Yeah, I have.
From out, from in?
We're still talking about intolerance.
Don't be pornographic. For a guy with a restaurant, you just have so much sex in your mind. Come on.
I think to a large extent, one of the things that we're intolerant about are the people within, the opinions of people in our country. I think that it's sad that anyone can't have an opinion.
Yeah.
And we have to bounce on them.
It's the basis of democracy. Yeah. You talk.
It's so sad. Just on that. So that's one. I think that's the worst part of. I think everyone can have an opinion, and I think that we bounce on people and whoever that may be, famous people or not famous people,
on those
opinions. And I think that's just really sad. I also find this backseat driving from Indians that are not living in India.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it unbelievable. Everyone has an opinion. That's great, but to go so far and to dig so deep when you're so far away and don't have an idea of what's going on in the country.
Right.
I think that's. I think if you have that much of an opinion and you think that highly, then you should come back and do something.
Can
about
you give
it.
Me an example of what you mean like that?
No, I mean, I'm just talking, you know, just so a lot of the trolling that's happened even to Amir Khan has been from
the foreign internet sensation trolls. Yeah.
They're not here, so they're, you know, and they're sitting in London or Switzerland.
They enjoy democracy in its finest form.
And you're saying, well, you should, I mean,
yeah, no, exactly.
What are you doing? I don't, and it's not so much, listen, you don't have you have an opinion on a subject matter, but I don't think you can have an opinion on someone who's making a point. I might not agree with Amir Khan or agree with Amir Khan. It's not that. It's just that I think that we should be tolerant. I mean, can you imagine if we went to him or someone stated to him, look, I can totally understand, you know, that you felt like that.
Listen, somebody put out a 1 lakh slap thing, bounty. Who does that? I mean, he's an actor, for God's sake.
I think that's sadder than the intolerance or I think that's just a really sad.
So are we a democracy? Would you say we are some sort of democracy still, or do you sometimes think, what the hell is this?
No, I think that I think the thing I'm most proud of being in the country is that
we still function.
We're functioning democracy. I mean, what Sandeep said, I mean, we're completely inefficient as a company across every single thing, but we still function. I mean, we're not blowing things up left, right, and center.
And we are free in some more ways than...
No, we are free. I think we are. And I think I was just overwhelmed on Twitter.
By the reactions.
On Chennai, the Chennai floods, and the amount of money and things that so quickly that wouldn't have happened 2-3 years ago.
No.
Mm-hmm. But through technology and other means, the amount of people that are kind of
altruism,
contributing.
Technology.
So I think there's a lot of good, and we've decided that we're going to live here. Our kids are going to grow up here, and we're going to try to do things that can.
Now, when you say we, is that you and Sandeep?
No, me, Sandeep, Jeremy, Prashant, Sunny. And the rest of the
life Sunny and Prashant, the whole Indian family, the whole village,
the whole team, we collectively. Yeah,
there you go. Fair answer, I must say. Yes, I'm cool.
All right. The next question is from Radhika something. I can't read what that last name is. Thanks, I love hearing your podcast. It would be great if you get Milind Soman as a guest, given how much annoyance Cyrus has with him.
I love Milind Soman.
I'm trying to figure out where that came from.
I don't know. We used to swim together. He used to do breaststroke. I used to watch. No, not really. I get along very well with Milind. I think there's some.
I don't know why, but I mean, like, it seems that
maybe about running.
I don't know. Yeah,
we're good friends.
It probably is.
We both
running.
Love dogs.
It probably has to do with running.
You like the Beatles? You like dogs? I'm your friend for life.
You have some general aggravation with running, right? So it might just.
Oh,
be
I hate runners.
So it might.
I don't hate the idea of them running. It's about running into traffic like my wife. They get up early morning, and I'm driving to the gym in the morning, and I have to fight these runners. They're the modern day motorbikes. Mm. Up the one way in the middle of the road. Are you runners?
Yeah.
You're doing a wonderful job. The guys are so
this
good.
Great, huh?
You're making democracy.
What about cyclists?
I hate them.
The cyclists?
I'm the cyclist on the road.
No, but in America, they follow the rules, man. I'm talking about here.
We're
up the one
way
in the middle of the road. I mean, come on, we've got to follow some lane culture, something.
Mm. Who follows lane culture here? Have you driven on a road here?
But they're running. They've got legs. Now I'm competing with legs. I'm in my car. There's legs in the middle of the road.
Not like you have sidewalks.
I'm honking at legs and they don't even look at you. See, in India, we have a technique. Turn your back to the motorist. The motorist is the lowest form in the car system. You stay there and you honk and you play. Do what you want. You can't do a damn thing. Just run at that human speed. This middle-aged woman who's not had sex with about 6 months with her husband, now running. I mean, come on. There's so much frustration at that point. I haven't yet run over any of them.
Good for them, man. They're lucky.
You know what it is. Social justice at some point.
All right. The last question is from Harish via email, which is... why don't you do more shows? Once a week is not enough.
Okay, let's ask this to our panel. They've had enough. They're clear once a week. Perhaps enough.
Maybe they'll listen to this one.
That's our future. That's how we sign out. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for being on this show. It's not like I need to read your names, but I do know who you are. You're all very rich and very successful. And, well, it's called building, not betting. You've got your own way. And your own ways working as far as we know. So Sid, Siddharth, Jeremy, Prashant and Sunny, who's in Philadelphia, episode 36, season 2. All the best in your journey. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Cyrus Says.
All views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the views and opinions of the IndusVox Media Network or any of our show advertisers or sponsors. No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast, obviously.